this today is a high noon, because it's fucking high noon in Texas town.
What are you, a fucking
what?
70s president delivering an address?
And we're going to get tough on crime.
And now that we've dealt with the Attica prison riot,
I come to you today with the news of the Harbor of Pearl.
I come to you with a heavy heart. My beer is half empty. If you're listening to this right now, you're listening to Tether Radio Untethered. Holy shit. What episode are we on?
117.
117! Woo! I will tell you that if you're listening to this after the Attica prison riot episode, you've already consumed that. Rock and roll. Give yourself a pat on the back. Allie did a phenomenal job. I just want to give kudos where kudos is due.
Yay!
Yeah, dude, and so yeah, now, Al, what?
Sorry, I just said, yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so now it's mine and Larry's turn to...
Fuck it all up, yeah.
Exactly, for right around a half hour. So, I'm going to ask you guys this question, and I'm going to go first since I've already like thought about it for a second.
Yeah.
And what if you had to describe yourself as a fruit? What fruit would you describe yourself as?
A lemon. A thousand times over a lemon.
Yeah, so you already had it.
I love lemons.
So why? But why?
Cuz there's so much.
Okay. Elaborate.
Like,
just give me like a couple sentences on why Allie should be a lemon.
It's like this obnoxiously bright color, right? Yeah. It's such a strong fucking flavor.
Yeah.
Like, you either like it or you don't.
You know from day one.
I mean,
that's hilarious.
I feel like that's fair.
That's good. Yeah. I like it. Yours is better than mine.
Okay.
I was going to go with, I think, a grape.
That's boring, man. I'm sorry.
A lemon. What?
Lemons are wild.
How about this? How about a lime?
I love a lime.
You know why? Because I like to be
zesty.
I like to be squoz on tacos. No, I'm just kidding. I know squoz isn't a fucking word anyway.
I'm making guac tonight because we're having a boat day tomorrow, and
ooh,
I'm excited.
Hell yeah! Are you gonna do the press down of the cellophane on it so it doesn't turn brown?
I don't know. Actually, well, I may just buy the stuff brown tonight. When it's guac, is gross.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Oh, come on.
Please.
Nobody likes brown guac.
Somebody ISO that to nobody likes brown. Jamie, can you pull up the times that Daniel has been racist on this podcast?
Dude, Jamie doesn't have enough time.
I think I'm just going to make it in the morning because it doesn't take that long to make. And I don't want to get round.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Did you get avocados from Mexico?
Avocados from Mexico.
I'm telling you, this is a fucking like PSA. I literally downloaded a thing that it's like how the seasons. Mm-hmm. There is 1 month that you can't. I think one month, 1.5 months, something like that, that you can't get good avocados from Mexico.
I remember you told us about
that. I don't fucking eat Mexico. Whoa. I don't eat fucking avocados during that time because avocados from fucking like Colombia and all these other places are so much more inferior.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know what I'm talking about? The watery. Versus the oily.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It's the fucking worst. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm just going to have to freeze. Can you freeze avocados?
I've vacuum sealed them before. They last longer.
I don't know.
But how much longer? Because I need them to last longer, like weeks, dude.
A lot. Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. Vacuum seal. That's where it's at.
So vacuum sealed with the peel on or unpeeled?
Even
or
if
what?
You cut them in, I've cut an avocado in half and then vacuum sealed the rest, left the pit in, and it's good for like at least, I don't know, 2 more weeks.
Okay. So I need to buy a bunch that are super not ripe right around the time that I'm getting into that, you know, period. Let them ripen slowly, or I could put them in the fridge to ripen them slower.
Yeah, just whenever you cut, just whenever you're ready to use it, cut it, eat it, just vacuum seal the other half.
Man. All right. I'm going to do it. Don't you threaten me with a good time.
And you just throwing tips out
Wait
there.
A second. Hang on. You're going to be over here over the summer. So does that mean that you're going to bring some guac?
Wait a second.
We're going to do some street tacos?
Let's unpack that. Let's unpack that.
Larry can't cook.
You're telling me to come over.
Guac's not even cooking, buddy. Larry can't even mix up guac.
You're telling me that you expect me to import authentic Mexican avocados and make you guac and salsa.
No, I just ask for a guac.
I know, I'm over dramatizing things. Anyway, I'm glad you asked. I would be a jalapeno. Probably.
That's not a fruit.
It is so a fruit. Look it up.
Okay, it's a berry, but like, be so fucking
all
for real.
All peppers Wait, are fruits. What? All peppers
yeah,
are fruits.
Yeah, but be for real.
Wait, I thought a fruit had to grow on... No, it doesn't. Huh, never mind. So what is the definition of a fruit?
I don't know.
Seeds?
No.
Okay. That's what we'll go ahead and act like
you got me on that one. I just know that a jalapeno, specifically peppers, are fruits. I've had this conversation before.
I did not know that.
It's the only reason that I will stand on this hill. I won't die on it. I'll stand on it.
Dude, well, are we playing King of the Hill?
I may be knocked off of it at some point, but you know, I'm not opposed to being knocked off of the hill. It's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To Allie's point, more realistic, more stereotypical fruit. I think I would go with a tangerine. That's a
tangerine.
Yeah, tangerine's a fruit, right?
So not like a clementine, not a navel orange.
Tangerine. Okay.
All
right. If I had to pick an orange, I would be a Caraquera orange or a blood orange. Blood oranges are really good.
A Caraquera?
Yeah. They're like pink inside.
Really have you ever had an heirloom?
Orange?
No. Okay.
They exist. Okay. I promise.
Yeah, I believe you.
I've never had one. I just...
I'm going to change my
honestly,
answer.
Isn't all the heirloom stuff like super... Well, more expensive.
Yeah.
But... All right, so jalapeno 1A, 1B would be prickly pear. I love prickly pears.
Prickly Ooh, pear.
Prickly pear's so good.
Prickly pear's
so good. I'll tell you what I would. I wanted, what is it, Harry and David pear.
God.
Those are like.
They're stupid good.
So ridiculous. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, another good fruit, flipping Cosmic Crisp apples.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has dethroned the Honeycrisp for me.
I had a Honeycrisp a couple of weeks ago, and I was eating it, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, this is the worst Honeycrisp that I've ever... It wasn't. I bought Envy's, and I forgot I bought Envy's. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
My opinion, whenever you give a fruit a government name, it just loses its allure to me, you know? Like
the Cosmic Crisp, though.
Granny Smith, like, you know.
I actually love Granny Smith is the most like it's the workhorse apple.
It is.
Because it's
you
always
can put it on savory stuff.
It's the rich man's apple.
Yeah. No, it's like that's the best part. It's like you can like cut it up and cook
it. Working man's apple.
Red Delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Period.
Classic apple.
Finn. So we told Finn. Sometimes we'll get lazy and we're like, all right, buddy, you know, they're going to do chicken nuggets at school tomorrow. We know you'll eat that.
Just yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like fixing your meal.
Yeah.
But like fucking out of if he goes to school 25 days in a month, then I send his lunch probably 23 days over, yeah, kind of thing. But those 2 days, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, they're doing chicken nuggets. Go ahead and take chicken nuggets. And, or take chicken nuggets. Buy chicken nuggets.
Take them. Procure get chicken nuggets.
Procure your nuggets. Your nuggies, boy.
Be like Napoleon Dynamite with nuggets.
Yeah.
Just put them in your pocket.
And I'm like, hey, but this is the problem. He hates the school milk because they only sell like 1% milk. Mm. And we have whole milk at home.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a very big difference. But his big thing is the fruit. And I'm like, did you get a banana? No, there weren't any bananas. Did you get like an apple or an orange? Oh, I got an apple. Well, what kind of apple did you get? A yellow apple. And I said, a yellow apple?
Yeah.
But are those not always so like...
They're mealy.
Mealy as shit. And I was like, he goes, well, I only ate like a little bit of it.
Yeah, because it sucks.
Yeah, and I was like, Finn, I don't blame you. Like, seriously, I'm not going to give you shit for like eating a fucking, like a third of a fucking yellow apple. What do they call the yellow ones?
I think it's a yellow delicious.
Golden, right?
Golden. Golden delicious.
Golden something?
No? Do you know how many apple cultivars there are?
Oh my, what did you just say? Apple cultivars?
Cultivars.
Cultivars?
I thought you said yellow apple devices. I'm on a different plane. I shouldn't have eaten those mushrooms.
The Golden Delicious is one of the 15 most popular apple cultivars in the United States.
Shit. No, I mean, I'm sure it's a cultivar.
Yeah.
It is not one of the fucking top 15.
It is not closely related to the Red Delicious.
No shit. Because it sucks. Yeah. Like, that's a good apple if you're making, like, applesauce.
Yeah.
Because it's already going
to
be that dexter.
Man, I've been wanting applesauce. I keep meaning to buy it at the store, and then I forget when I'm at the store.
Dude, let's make applesauce.
Dude.
Let's fucking do it.
Wiki says there's more than 7,500 cultivars.
Yowza.
I tried a few years ago to try how many different apples I could find around town. I've told y'all this because I had it in a notebook, and I cannot find that notebook.
Yeah.
But I swear, I think I logged, like, 70-something. But and that was just like what I happened to find around town. Allie. And that was in like 2009 or something.
Dude, you get obsessed over shit more than I do.
I like little side quests, man.
Dude, hey,
I'm gonna do it again.
Live
I need
your
to do
best
it again.
Life, man.
I love it though. At least I know someone else that gets like periodically obsessed with something.
Yeah.
As much as I do.
Okay, so Larry.
Yes.
Favorite apple.
I don't know the names of them, but I like those large, really red apples. They're really juicy.
So it's only red? Yes. It's only red?
Yes.
So you probably like Red Delicious. Because, I mean, they're pretty good.
Dude, did you know a Cosmic Crisp is a cross between a Honeycrisp and an Enterprise?
I don't know what an Enterprise is, but...
Turns out it's the parent of a Cosmic Crisp.
That's insane.
See, that's just getting too fucking difficult. It's like getting a dog at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Cosmic Crisp, they created it to be... Like, it stays fresh for a really long time.
Both of those names for the
it's
apples.
The most fucking GMO'd motherfucker of the apples.
Yeah.
Both of those names.
So honestly, if I have an arm like growing out of my side next week,
it's
because I ate way too many Cosmic Crisps.
I don't think
Crisps.
I've had a Cosmic Crisp. I need to try one.
See,
I'll send one home.
Those names
you.
For okay. those apples sounds like a weed line. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
They really do. Like,
Cosmic
honestly.
Crisp, especially.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Also, is there a 23andMe for apples?
Huh. I think that information is just available.
I think it's usually just a sticker on it that you can just...
but how much can we trust?
Yeah.
You know, since we're bullshitting, I've come to hate the phrase do your research or I've done my research. Like, shut the fuck up, because usually the people that say that is in a...
They haven't.
Certain
or they don't know how, and they found a Facebook post. And I'm like, oh,
I've
done
my research. And by that, I read something on Facebook.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No. Mainstream media. What does that mean anymore?
Yeah, just mega, like the bigger stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the big boys.
Yeah,
literally,
so, like just four or five of them. Everything else is
no. I think that, like, honestly, it's like it's literally unless if it's on cable, that's a safe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If it's on cable or like satellite, then it's probably fucking mainstream.
Huh?
Why?
No, it's just weird. I've been trying to like break it down when people say, "Oh, mainstream media this," and I'm like, "Okay, so what is?"
They don't know what they mean.
No,
because
a lot of people are. If
a large group of people are consuming that source, isn't that mainstream to a point? Like, I don't know. That's just me. No.
I think it's the majority,
yeah,
kind of thing. Okay. I mean, when I think of mainstream, it's like literally if it is a cable channel, then
if it's something that most people have heard of,
yeah,
cool.
All right. Anyway, so we are floundering, but it's our job to keep this motherfucker afloat.
Yeah, we're just trying Larry. To forget about the disasters that are being covered by Allie.
Hey, we're not even into it yet.
But hey, let's get into it. Because yeah. I'm about to talk to you guys about a mom that accidentally invited all 487 contacts to her daughter's first birthday party.
I saw the headline somewhere.
So,
yeah.
I think this is funny, and I'll get into it because I don't want to tell you guys now because, yeah, anyway, I don't want to steal my own thunder. How about that? A California mom planning a first birthday for her baby girl accidentally invited all 487 contacts ever saved onto her cell phone. No. Emily King, a 30-year-old teacher in San Jose, explained the mistake in a now viral TikTok video while using Evite, the digital invitation service she was using on her phone earlier this month. Quote, I just made an Evite for my daughter's first birthday party, and on Evite it says import contacts. And I thought it meant import to select through
contacts. No.
Uh-huh. No. It imported all 487 of my contacts and invited them to this birthday party.
Not so only did it invite my booty call got invited.
Dude, it gets better. Not only did it invite my boss, all my coworkers, all the people that have ever been stored in my phone, but it sent invitations based off of how they are stored in my phone.
No!
Quote, I want you to just take a second and think about everyone stored in your phone and how they're stored in your phone. And then imagine someone receiving an invitation, Derek Iroh. He received an invitation. Quote, Jess hit her car in parking lot.
Oh.
Hope she already knew that.
Eric, yeah. I roll.
Yeah. Anyways, I have to quit or get a new identity. She joked. I don't even know. The TikTok video has more than 24,000 comments. This should qualify you for witness protection, one user joked. I would be spiraling, another chimed in. I think Evite owes you compensation, a third person wrote. Many noted the unusual contact names people have saved in their own phones. I have someone saved as, quote, restraining order, one person wrote.
Fuck.
Quote, I would die if, quote, how do you quote within a quote?
You just don't worry about it.
Okay. I would die if, just accept quote, it. Mark still owes me $100.
Oh, shit.
Came to my son's V-Day.
That's fucking petty
right there.
Oh, okay. My God. We immediately reached out to him as soon as we saw her post. While we have several steps in place so that things like this don't occur for guests, Em's journey inspired something we call the Emily Hotfix that removes the select all function on iOS apps.
God.
Emily Pollack, Evite senior director of brand marketing, told Fox television stations, "We're always learning from our users and hope this update is a help for other users too." So they hooked her up with some thoughts money to DoorDash. Yeah, seriously.
Damn.
But dude, so it's one thing to like,
they didn't
like,
even say I'm sorry. That's the corporate response. They were just like, "We hope that this patch, you know, prevents this in the future."
Dude, but like, oh my God. Which I don't think I have anybody in my phone is like that weird of stuff, but it's like,
oh dude, I do. Fuck, it's
Yeah.
I've got a handful of do not answers and a couple with tombstones on their names, but
damn.
They all would not be surprised by that.
Yes, dude, they're not coming anyway,
no,
right?
No.
All right, that's all I got for that bad boy. I will add this to the sheet. Larry, you got something?
Yeah, bro. Okay, so there's a sport that's out there. Coming at you from...
There's a sport that's out there right now. Anyway.
Coming at you from the reliable community of Unilad. So take that as nice. You will. A violent game involving chess and boxing is being called the, quote, craziest sport in all of history. Now, listen. Chess, boxing... is the craziest sport in all of history that you've ever heard of. This article opens up like, with a fucking banger here. All right. There are many sports out there for you to enjoy, whether that that be football, soccer, baseball, or basketball. However, there are some sports that are little less known, but that doesn't make them any less predictable. Chess boxing is one sport that I assume the majority of people have never watched or even heard of, says the writer of this article, which is Callum Jones. You can probably guess what it involved with chess boxing, and it really is exactly what you think it is. So... chess boxing comes under what is known as a hybrid sport, as it splits into two disciplines. Yeah, we get it. Okay. Yep, you guessed it. Chess and boxing. Chess boxing has to be the craziest sport of all time. Yeah, being repetitive. Okay.
God, I hope this is like plays out how I hope it plays out. I want them to like play like rounds of chess in between rounds of boxing.
So the video the video shown on this article sees two contestants first having a game of chess in a boxing ring before having an actual bout just moments later. So imagine the halftime prep talk. Keep your knights moving and watch those uppercuts, one person joked. it needs concentration and ability to think very fast, a second person said, while a third remarked, so many useless and meaningless sports nowadays. Whatever, okay. So, how exactly does this work? Well, two combatants play alternating rounds of blitz, chess, and boxing until one wins by checkmate or knockout. So
I fucking love this. This is exactly what I want.
So they are not the only two ways to win, though, as it is also possible to come out victorious if by the time by time penalty, as in normal chess, and by boxing decision, if there is a draw in the corresponding chess match. Okay, so basically what I'm getting off of this is if penalties both in chess or boxing rules make the decision before a knockout.
Yeah, so you can either... yeah, so you can either get knocked out boxing, or you can be whatever, cornered into a checkmate, right?
Yeah, so this sport has been you know, grown massively in recent times to the point where it's popular in the likes of the UK, India, Finland, France, and Russia.
So this is my question to you guys. Do you think that there are chess players that tried to become boxers or boxers that tried to become chess players?
I feel like there's an element to this where, like, your ability to do one or the other is going to be hindered by the other sport.
The other? So for, yeah.
Yeah. These guys do not have chess player bodies.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So
you get knocked out a few times. Your thoughts on chess are probably going to lower a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so that's why I think it would be way more fun to strap gloves on, like, professional chess players. And see them just, like, fucking
except for that one that was keystering whatever. Yes! That. Oh, God. Yes.
So he was getting tips in his cornhole.
Yeah.
I really want to know, and I wish this article got into the specifics a little bit more. I'm watching the clip to see how it works. So you make a move, the timekeeper stops the clock, and then they break out into a fucking fight and then go back to playing chess. So it's obviously, like, interrupted. The game of chess is interrupted by a period of fighting at some point in time. This article doesn't do a very good job of explaining what the, you know, rules are and how to determine when they start fighting versus when they start playing chess. But I found it rather interesting because,
I mean,
it's weird.
How can you not? I love this shit. But I agree with Allie that it's like, no, these are boxers that, like, learn to play chess. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like those aren't transferable interests, you know?
No, but I'm saying, like, you can teach somebody how to do something, but I feel like teaching someone to box / training is going to be way more difficult than just making them at least know how to play chess.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to be good. I'm just saying that they understand the rules, you know, which I'm sure that's what this is. So, yeah. Why do they have headphones on?
To focus, dude. Hone in on, you know.
Get in the zone, dog.
Get in the zone for chess, dude.
Gotta get your concentration on.
Get in the zone, dog.
Gotta line up those rooks, yeah. You know? Is that a term? I don't know. I don't know chess.
I have no idea.
I can play the fuck out of checkers, though.
Dude. Oh, my God, dude. How about Chinese checkers?
No.
I don't know how to play that either, so.
Yeah, you do. It's super easy. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever played, not Gauntlet, Labyrinth? Mm-mm. Oh, my God. It's so fun, and it's...
Pan's Labyrinth. Know.
Oh, that's such a good movie, and it's so,
you know, there's
fucking intense.
Also a movie called Labyrinth, yeah. Right?
The Babe with the Power. The Power with the Babe. Fucking David Bowie was in it, man. And it had a bunch of, like, little creatures from Jim Henson's whatever.
Yeah,
what's
it
called? Not library, but Jim Henson's, like, factory or, like, creationarium or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's something, right? Like creationarium or something.
Yeah. Creationarium sounds terrible. This, so. That can't be it. Say what?
Imaginarium?
I think this is the first time.
Imaginarium.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time. What?
Hearing about it, I don't think I've seen it.
So, I would be drunk when I watched it.
Okay.
If I were you. Because
the first time you've heard of Labyrinth?
Yeah.
He's never seen it. I watched it as a kid. You watched it as a kid.
I've never seen it, but I know of it.
Yeah, well, I'll show myself out. All right. Do you guys want to hear about a stowaway cat?
Do we? The one in the box? Hell yeah.
Right? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah.
Okay. So, stowaway cat accidentally mailed to California in returned package.
God.
How in the fuck does this occur?
Well, there's an underlying factor to it that's pretty funny, too. Sorry, I won't see her thunder.
You already read it?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
She's so pretty.
Wait a second. How do you see it?
Did
you
look it up? I just Googled stowaway cat.
Got you. So, a family in the U.S. has been reunited with their pet cat after she was accidentally mailed hundreds of miles to California with a package return. Galena, I guess?
I guess.
Galena disappeared from her home in Utah earlier this month, prompting widespread searches for the beloved missing Moggy. Is that a type of cat?
I'm not reading the same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is a Moggy, M-O-G-G-I-E?
I don't know.
Okay. She was rescued by...
Oh, it's just a British term for cat.
Oh, interesting. I've never seen that ever.
No, yeah. It's informal British. They have all kinds of stupid names for stuff.
That's wild. Yeah. This is from the BBC.
That's what I'm telling you. They're not real.
But I'm saying like, okay. Well, no, I understand that it's British, but okay. I'm saying like informal. I would think that they'd whatever. Like.
Oh, it's a corruption of the word mongrel, and it's the feline equivalent of the word for a dog of uncertain parentage.
What the fuck, dude?
I love that you're like, it's the BBC, dude. It's fucking British. What? No, that's not where I was going with that.
I was like, wait till you find out what the first B stands for.
She was rescued by an Amazon worker nearly a week after jumping into one of the family's packages undetected.
Please tell me there's a picture of the inside of the box that she was in.
No, there's actually not. Oh, you found one? No.
Larry, there's a
wow.
Inside the like cardboard box is what looks to be some shoe boxes and one of them is the Caterpillar like construction brand.
No, the cat.
So it just says cat on top of it.
Well, from my understanding this cat was obsessed with cardboard prior to
Goomba cat is obsessed with cardboard.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
She was rescued by an Amazon worker nearly a week after jumping into one of the family's packages undetected.
Oh my God.
The cat was in good health despite having had no food or water for days. Quote, Galena loves boxes. It's just part of her personality. Carrie Clark, the cat's owner, told NBC's Utah affiliate KSL TV.
I think that's all cats, though.
Yeah, right. Hell, that's children too.
That's like holy dogs hell. As well. Like you buy them something that comes in a box, they'll play with a box more
they
than
just want
play
the box,
with,
man. Just give me the box, man.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
It's just my cat that I accidentally shipped. Sorry.
You've seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, when explaining how her family's pet had come to end up so far from home, the cat was eventually rescued from the large box, which also contained pairs of steel-toed work boots by an Amazon worker who took her to the vet. There, the cat's microchip was scanned, and basically they figured out that that cat should not be in that box.
No shit, right? Like, okay, so we have cat boots and then a cat.
Well, they thought it was a promo.
It says right here, I belong in this box.
Yeah,
I'm getting the box.
Hang on.
Can
what's
you
the
imagine
promo?
The rep
question
at Caterpillar?
Is what's the promo?
Could you imagine the rep at Caterpillar receiving the whole package and it's like boots and then a literal cat and just being like,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. So, Miss Clark and her husband then flew more than 1,000 miles to California to retrieve their pet.
Wow.
Can't you just ship her back?
Yeah.
Right. She did fine.
Put her in the same box.
No. How did, high altitude, low oxygen, you know, because obviously it's not a passenger plane.
Yeah, but isn't there something like, I feel like we've covered other stories that like, even like children or something like got stuck in places and then it was like it was low oxygen but it was like basically it just put them in a coma.
They just
fell
asleep for a second.
No, like legit, and it was like just enough to where they were. And I could be wrong. I could be making this up. So don't fucking like. But I thought that it was like something that it was like basically it put them like almost in this comatose state. And then, like, they were able to, like, resuscitate him.
It could be. I mean, I'm not.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not an aerologist.
I'm not a catologist.
I'm not an airplaneologist. So, flyologist. What is it called? Stop me when I'm right. Anyway. So luckily for the cat, one of the box's seams had been open, so there was air to breathe, and the weather conditions meant that she had not frozen or overheated. The BBC has approached Amazon for comment. Amazon said that they put the cat in one of their little suicide booths.
No,
just kidding.
Hold up.
I was like, how did no one hear her meowing? And they said she doesn't meow a lot.
Hold up. What so cat? You telling me
doesn't meow a lot?
Are you telling me
my cats are so vocal?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hear me out here. You're telling me that these packages are not getting scanned? So,
hey man, is that surprising to you?
What do you mean they're not getting scanned?
Well, they would find a cat.
Yeah.
If they scanned a pack.
Oh, I thought you meant like scanning like a barcode on it.
Oh,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah. He's saying, I'm sorry, x-ray.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right.
Do you think they just x-ray all packages?
Well, how do they find drugs in the packages?
I would think that's probably like a spot thing.
Yeah, not, I don't.
Every so many packages kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they only do that with like.
No, don't do that when it's meowing. skip it.
Just go ahead and put like the cartel starts putting like sound boxes in their fucking packages.
Yeah, right. Oh my god. So Miss Clark, who described the experience of not knowing what had happened to Galena as excruciating, told KSL TV that she encouraged everyone to microchip their pets and to, quote, triple check their Amazon boxes.
God.
Wow, dude. All right. So what are we going to do? We going to do one more? Or Larry, you got anything? You're going to rap, dude.
Yeah, dude. So I wanted to cover this last week because this guy's my hero, right? So there's a runner. Runner gulps down 25 glasses of wine during the London Marathon. His quote is, "I was totally exhausted." Bro, that's not the only thing that you were. All right.
You were spent, bro. That's what you were.
So in true New York Post openers, he crossed the finish line, the finish wine. He crossed the finish wine.
Oh, nice. Right. Nice.
A wine merchant raised the bar for boozers and runners alike after blind tasting 25 glasses of vino during the London Marathon. Blind testing, bro. No.
Blind test?
Yeah.
That's just called chugging, isn't it?
It's just called, like, not a good time. Nearly one for each mile. The sommelier.
That's a lot.
The sommelier's running performance currently boasts 3.9 million views on TikTok. Quote, "I was totally exhausted, totally cooked, but it was just such a great day." Tom Gibby, who runs a wine business, told The Guardian of his grape accomplishments. New York Post, stop.
Dude.
He's known as the wine guy on TikTok. The Brit frequently films himself doing various tipple taste tests and demonstrating how to get the best wine for your buck. I don't know what tipple taste tests are.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
So for his latest feat of hepatic fortitude, right? Yeah.
Tipple taste. That must be his like.
Tipple's just alcohol.
Okay.
Okay.
I just googled it.
The vintner.
Thanks, sorry.
So this guy decided to just run the London Marathon to raise $2,487 for his Sobel House Hospice charity in Oxford, which cared for his mother during her final days. So far, they've raised over $16,000. As an added challenge, the multi-flasker decided to sample a glass of wine for every mile run, along with guessing the drink's variety, country of origin, and vintage.
Dude, that is a big glass of wine to like to be having 25 of
yeah.
them. Like yeah. That's at least a 3 or 4 ounce glass of wine, I feel like.
Ugh.
Shiraz Australia 2022, Gibby correctly guessed after sampling one of the glasses, which was handed out along the route like water. Of the 25 glasses, he reportedly got 7 100% correct, 4 completely wrong, and the remainder mostly right. Meaning that he might have missed one of the criteria, like country.
Wow, dude, vintage. That's yeah. impressive. Yeah. To be fucking running a marathon and guessing fucking wines.
Ugh.
Honestly, that sounds like a ugh.
Yeah,
I agree.
He kind of looks like Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Kind right.
Of like, yeah.
Oh, that. This one specifically.
Oh, that's the one that yeah. got yeah. me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the one that he's in front of a bunch of wine bottles.
Yeah. So
he
sampled a gauntlet from, not gauntlet, gamut, from gas station offerings to $50 bottles of Barlow. Barlow? Barlow?
I don't know. I don't drink $50 bottles of wine.
Nope.
So he finished the race.
If it's more than $15, I'm probably not buying it.
Dude, he finished the race in 4 hours and 41 minutes, including wine stops, which he celebrated by drinking a glass of champagne after the finish line.
Ugh.
Dude. A
fucking marathon in 4 hours and 41 minutes? That's insane. And it's including wine? Yikerooskies.
Dude, that is crazy. So despite boozing while cruising, Gibby claimed that the agony of running made him feel nothing but the urge to finish, joking that it was a great way to stay sober. Bro, come on. Dude.
Well, he didn't drink all those glasses. Like it says, yeah. he avoided them. Feeling tipsy by only drinking small sips or spitting it out after tasting.
Okay, so the little that's thing fair. That I saw, it looked like he just straight up chugged one of them.
Maybe he just like swished it.
But I guess he spit
mouth.
It.
So. Yeah, and spit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Wow, okay. Well, it says runner gulps down 25 glasses yeah. of wine. What the fucking mm-hmm. get good, New York Post.
New York mm-hmm. Post.
Fucking bullshit.
I want to know how old this guy is.
Let's take guesses.
Yeah, y'all guess. I'll Google him.
We'll get another look.
In he's wine 47. Years, he's probably 50, but I think he's in his late 30s, early 40s.
He's 47.
He's 47.
On the dot. On the, no, I'm saying that's oh. how old he is. I don't know.
He is 52.
Oh!
Damn. What'd you say?
I said late 30s, early 40s, so. But in wine years, I said 50s.
In wine years. I said 47, but like, that's impressive, dude. Honestly, anybody doing fucking marathons at hell past 30, you've got my fucking kudos.
I don't know, man. I just thought this article was fun.
Yeah.
No, that's wild, dude.
Yeah. And he raised money for hospice care, so that's cool.
Yeah
dude. So I just saw this last sentence. Gilby's booze run might be impressive, but it pales in comparison to the Chinese grandpa who ran the marathon in 3.5 hours while smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Phil, didn't we cover that guy?
I think we did.
Either we did or we put it on the spreadsheet and didn't get to it.
I think, no, we covered it because I remember these pictures.
I remember seeing it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It's just funny as fuck.
Hell yeah.
It's, you know what? That just proves to you that it's like fucking, you know what? You can do whatever you want in your to your body, but if your genes aren't right, dude, it's going to catch up to you one way or another. Yeah,
dude, that's why you got to start buying your jeans from JCPenney. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, honestly, I agree. Levi's only.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm looking at the time. Larry and I have fucking, like, absolutely just, like, babbled over and fallen over ourselves trying to complete an untethered.
We have disappointed Allie so much with our bad jokes.
Allie's like, honestly, no. Allie almost, she looked at me and she was like, I'm going to leave. So if you don't fucking start, like, getting your shit together, I'm going to leave. I'm going to fucking leave. Step it up. Do better. And I said, I'll try through tears. But anyway, if you're still here, listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us for right around 45 minutes. Man, I apologize for what that was compared to Allie put together for the full episode.
Man, we gotta lighten it up a little bit. We gotta do it.
Dude, I'm taking the full Miri approach from the episode that you two did together. She stood her ground. She's like, I'm not apologizing for shit. So,
yeah. Well, this is what I would compare this to. I would say Allie, in the sense of like a rodeo, Allie is like riding the largest, meanest fucking bull out there, and she made it the full 8 seconds. And me and you are the fucking clowns that run out to try to distract the fucking bull
so that
she can make it back to the fucking, like, you know.
I don't know. I feel like the clowns are the real heroes, so... You know, because if a bull rider
You goes would down, think that, clown.
No, listen. If a rider goes down, right, yeah, who distracts the bull in order to keep the person from getting hurt?
Okay, but we're also the cannon fodder or the bull fodder. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that, like, who are they trying to protect? It ain't the fucking clowns. Let me put it that way. So, anyway.
I didn't mean that as an insult. I was just trying to give you the most credit.
No, we are all fucking good, man. No, like, honestly, I felt like this was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Coming off of the Attica stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I think this is, I think this did our listener base.
Yeah, you can look forward to this for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, but don't worry. I will hopefully be more on top of my shit next time because, my God, Larry won't. I will because, man, this has just been a fucking whirlwind of a day. So.
No, dude, it's fun. I love it. I love it for sure.
Anywho, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us for right around 45 minutes and helping us wrap up Untethered number 117, mm-hmm. I believe. So we'll be back next week with 118 after Allie's stuff for the Attica Prison Riot round 2 or part 2.
Yep.
Yeah, so hope you guys enjoyed this. Be sure to check out the full episode with the Attica Prison Riot stuff on Monday. And we hope you guys have a fantastic weekend.
Can I ask for more interaction on live viewers, especially for this? I mean, Allie's put a lot of work in it. Like, we would really appreciate if you would, you know, try to hop in for at least a few minutes and just kind of give your take.
If you guys have questions.
I'm just glad people are listening at all.
Yeah, well, no, but I agree. Like, if you guys have questions or anything, we can try to, like, foot some of those and, like, you know, even if Allie can't answer it on the fly, obviously we can do some Googling and, like, answer questions that you guys might have. So, put us to work, y'all. My God, like, honestly, even though I could just sit here and fucking listen to her, like, present it, sure. I am absolutely down to to answer or try to answer, help answer questions about it and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. No, but I agree. That'd be cool to, if you guys want to tune in for the live episode, rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
Do it. And, yeah, we'll try to address anything and everything that we can. So, anywho, hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Be sure to check out the next episode of the Attica Prison Riot. That's episode 300, part 2. And hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Until then, take it easy, friendos.
Bye.
Bye.